are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Thank you for joining us, Hoosier baseball fans, and welcome to our season preview of the quickly approaching 2020 season. We're recording this on Monday, February 10th, 2020. I'm Josh Bennett, joined by stats guru Cassidy Palmer, master of the RPI Carl James, and the man who will attempt to drown out 10,000 screaming LSU fans this weekend, Mr. Chris Feeney. We only have 4 days until the Hoosiers open up the season at Alex Box Stadium against the LSU Tigers. All four of us from Talking Hoosier Baseball are lucky enough to be able to make the trip south, and the anticipation is huge, to say the least. The Indiana baseball team held a preseason media event last Monday. It was a warm day that allowed the boys a chance to play ball outside for a change at the Bart Kaufman Field. Chris and Carl were there.
You know, offensively, you know, Colin Hopkins has done a really, really nice job. Done a really good job growing offensively, especially. Grant Richardson's had a really good preseason. Eli Dunham, Cole Barr starting to round back into shape. He played a ton of games, obviously in the spring, but then a ton of games in the summer, and was a little worn down in the fall, but he's had a really nice couple of days. So there's been several guys that have stepped forward, and every year you always feel like, well, where are we going to get this production from and that production from? And that's why you go to work every day and coach all of your players all the time like they're going to be a starter. And because someone will grow and someone will develop and someone will blossom before your eyes, and that's what you just rely on. If your process is in player development, then you have to rely on your process, and that's what we've always done.
Chris and Carl were also able to speak to senior shortstop Jeremy Houston.
I mean, just doing the same things I've always been doing, taking a lot of ground balls. Me and Coach Simmons were always out here taking extra ground balls. And, I mean, Machaki out there, and we got Grant in center field. I think our middle infield is really, really prepared. And then, of course, Colin behind the plate. So I think we definitely have the pieces to do what we have to do up the middle and be prepared for the season. So I'm just excited to see what happens. Like I told Grant Richardson, I love our middle. Like, I don't think anything gets better than that. So we'll see.
So, Chris, the past couple of weeks have seen some big verbal commitments for 2021. Can you tell us about those?
Thanks, Josh. Absolutely, man. Mercer and his staff really killed it recently. Talking about getting the guys everybody wants. Colson Montgomery, we'd heard a lot about him. Was he going to play basketball? Was he going to go to Louisville? You know, was he going to focus on baseball? Then we're sitting there, and you know, it comes across Twitter. He basically announces himself to say that he was going to go to IU to play baseball. And it's really a really huge thing for the staff and for this team. For those who don't know about Montgomery, he's 6'5", 195, shortstop out of Southridge High School. He's a junior, so it's the 2021 class. He's the number two player on prep baseball, you know, from Indiana. Well, I actually saw him play the past 2 years in the state title game in Indy. 2 years ago, he was the only guy who could get hits off of Ty Bothwell. I think actually two walks and two hits. He got on base 4 times. Bothwell's team won, but Montgomery is the real deal. Big bat, big athletic kid. I remember 2 years ago we were at Indy and ran into Coach Lemonis, and he pointed him out because we had talked about people who had already committed, and he was like, keep an eye on him right there. And sure enough, he was a freshman, and he was probably the star of that game for Southridge. So it's a big, big signing. The kid's a big-time athlete, man. He's the quarterback on the football team. He's the shortstop on a baseball team, and he's the point guard on the basketball team. Like I said, Louisville was really high on him. Last February, I don't know if you remember, when Louisville blew that big lead to Zion and Duke, Montgomery was sitting behind the Louisville bench. You know, you could see him right there. Now, I don't know if that was more for basketball or baseball, but either way, he's not going there anymore. He's coming to us, so it's a big deal. Number 75 player overall for Prep Baseball Report, and like I said, number two in Indiana. It's a big deal, and he is really pumped up to represent the state, which I like. You know, I like when we get a local kid, especially a star like this. And we'll know more, obviously, as time goes by. You know, you'll hear a lot of stuff about the draft, this, that, and the third. But, you know, it seems like he is really motivated to represent Indiana, and maybe he doesn't want to sit on those buses laid down in the middle of the aisle like Matt was talking about last week. Now, another big time commit, TJ White out of South Carolina. This guy has been invited to every showcase there is. Okay, he spent his whole summer going to showcases, USA Baseball. They had a dream series. Only 80 high school kids got invited, and he was there. There was another one in Arizona. And that one only had like 60 kids invited. He got invited there. He was at the Jupiter, you know, World Championships. Again, tons of scouts are there. Very elite players play there. He's class of 2021. He's an outfielder, first baseman. Sounds like he's focused more on the outfield, though. Big-time arm. He's a switch hitter. He's 6'2", 210. And like I said, he's from South Carolina. Power gap to gap from what it seems like. National ranking, 133rd from Perfect Game. That's not South Carolina. That's, you know, the whole country. Big, smooth swing. I've seen a bunch of videos from him. And he had an 1,100 OPS at that Jupiter showcase, which was one of the highest ones there from any player. Three extra base hits. He hit a bomb. And he's basically, you know, the number one ranked outfielder in South Carolina. So it is absolutely a big deal. The staff really killed it. We got two big time recruits coming. And it's just about, you know, will they come? Obviously, that comes down the line. But they're Hoosiers for now. And, it was a big week. Very excited. Now it's time to delve into previewing the actual 2020 season for us. We're going to kick this off with Carl giving us an overview, you know, about the schedule and what we can look at going forward for the reigning Big Ten champs.
I would say it's one of the better non-conference schedules, probably going all the way back to 2015, which may have been the best non-conference this team's had in a long time. But this one's right up there. I mean, obviously this coming weekend at LSU, that it really doesn't get much bigger than that. But the rest of the non-con is solid as well. You've got San Diego, which they had a on the upswing last year, expected to be good this year. Return trip from Memphis. So the Hoosiers went down to play Memphis last year. Memphis is coming to the BART this year. San Diego is coming to the BART this year in early March. Might be one of the only times I might actually kind of hope it's cold at the BART. Might be a bit of an advantage. I don't even know if Toreros make winter gear for their team. So
we have winter coats. We do.
And then Illinois State, who Hoosier fans should recognize from the Louisville Regional last year. So Illinois State actually was in the catbird seat of that regional. So a very solid team. They did lose some pieces, but overall, this is a pretty good non-con schedule. The overall schedule really does match what we've seen over the last few years. And part of the way it gets there is that this is a slightly weaker Big Ten schedule, which is not saying the Big Ten is weaker. It's simply what chunks of the Big Ten Indiana has. Most importantly, Indiana misses Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Maryland. No games scheduled with those four programs, all four which are in the D1 baseball's top 100 programs. So that's it's a big deal. And then you also look at it from location. Indiana has Northwestern, Penn State, Rutgers, and Purdue all on the road. So the predicted to be weakest series in the Big Ten and pretty much in the entire schedule are going to be road series. So the more challenging series, Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, those are going to be the ones at the BART. So the BART series are going to be against the better competition for as far as the Big Ten series goes. You know, you can't always predict exactly, you know, who's going to be up or down. We don't know exactly how good Illinois State's going to be. We have a pretty good idea that Michigan's going to be very solid this year. I would say, in my opinion, Minnesota is going to be the class of the league, and we don't play Minnesota. But this is going to be a solid schedule. 29 home games, which is as long as the weather cooperates and most of those games get played, should be a record for home games at the BART. So a huge opportunity to get out and see this team play a lot of baseball. And the team is going to need, by my predictions, somewhere in the 35 to 37 win range in order to qualify for a fourth consecutive regional, which would be awesome. And if, you know, you remember from, you know, last season, you don't have to get off to the most, to a fantastic start to achieve a 35 win season. They can kind of pick it up along the way, even if things don't go exactly as they would like, particularly this first opening week. So I think it's a good solid schedule, pretty much on par, good opportunity with the weaker piece of the Big Ten to make a potential run at repeating as Big Ten champions if they've got the talent to do it. The schedule will not be a hindrance to an attempt to repeat as Big Ten champions. You know, the question really is, can the team put all the pieces together they need to win at the kind of rate that they're going to have to in order to be conference champions? And we will discuss some pieces of that more so within this podcast. For now, let's look back for a second. 2019 was the year of the home run for the Hoosiers. Cassidy, what stats are you looking at to be key for this team in 2020?
I actually kind of focused on the offensive side looking at my stats. I know we're going to have a little bit more discussion about pitching later, so I figured I'd focus on the offense. And about those home runs, the team lost 60% of those home runs from last season. That's going to seem like a lot. And when you've got guys like Lloyd and Gorski and Bradley, you've got some big hitters there who are gone. But those returning as a group actually hit one home run every 24 at-bats last season, which is actually really high. That's really, really good. And you're including some guys who, I mean, you had Jeremy Houston, who's a really quick, speedy guy, not the biggest power. He had none in 105 at-bats. So if you take some of those out, it actually gets even better. And in fact, Cole Barr led the team with one home run every 13 at-bats, which is really, really, really nuts. Grant Richardson was also fourth with a home run every 18 at-bats, and Eli Dunham was sixth with one every 19 at-bats. There's still some power left in this team. There's going to be some good power hitting left. The home runs aren't gone. So I definitely would still expect those home runs in 2020, just probably not second in the nation again. That was very impressive. After that, I kind of looked at some 2019 stats compared to 2018. We've got the last year of Coach Lemonis and the first year of Coach Mercer. As you would expect, the extra base hit rate is up for 2019, but that's almost exclusively home runs. Doubles, triples were almost identical. It was those home runs that were the big difference there. Another interesting one that really changed was the walk rate. The walk rate went up about a percentage point, which isn't going to sound like much, but when you're talking about almost 2,500 plate appearances, a percentage point is actually a good chunk there. And so I would expect the walk rate to continue to do well, especially as patience appears to be a big virtue at the plate with this coaching staff. But at the same time, that strikeout rate went way up in 2019, about 9 percentage points to striking out about 32% of at-bats. That's about a third. I'm hoping that was a little bit of an adjustment period. I know when you've got the home runs, strikeouts tend to go with that a bit, but I'm hoping that does come back down to more the 20 to 25% range rather than the 30 to 35% range. So that's one key stat that I'm going to be really interested in following this season: the home runs, the walks, and particularly the strikeouts. So it is another season and another chance for players to earn the coveted red belts. Chris, what exactly are these red belts?
What are the – Cass, you know what the red – oh, I got to tell them what the red belts are. Okay. I know you know what they are. For anybody's new listeners, you know, maybe you haven't caught us the past two seasons, what we do is every week we give out an offensive, defensive, and pitcher award, you know, best of the week, whether it's four games, a midweek game, and a weekend combined. The offensive red belt is called the Alex Dickerson Award. And whoever wins the most of those offensive red belts throughout the year is the Alex Dickerson Award winner. And I know they really want to win that. I know the players really think about it. And the defensive one is named after Tony Butler. So the best defensive play of the week gets that red belt. We add them all up at the end of the year, the Tony Butler Award. And for pitching, we go, this one obviously was the easiest to me, Joey Donato. So Joey Donato Award would go to the person, the player, who has come up with the most weekly pitching of the week awards, you know, the red belts. For those who don't know, the reason why we went to red belts is for a while there, they were all breaking. And whether they were head first sliding or whatever they were doing, it always seemed like the red belts were breaking, so they needed them. So we decided to give some out. But that's basically why we do it. And somehow it ended up me giving them out, and then everybody else just tells me I'm wrong. You'll see if you haven't watched. That's kind of how we do it. But I do pick them, which is nice. So, you know, not that anyone cares what I say, but every week I go through it. I'll pick who gets each award, except for one weekend every year when I'm in New York, because then it's harder to pay attention. So, Cass, what would be your prediction, just, you know, whatever you're feeling, for this year's Alex Dickerson Award?
So, Chris, I'm going to go with a guy that I've already mentioned in this podcast. I'm going to go with Cole Barr. He's very much the obvious choice going into the season. He hits well, and he has enough power to really light some fireworks this season. So I'm going to stick with Cole Barr for the Dickerson Award. So, Josh, who do you think's going to win the Donato Award?
That's a tough one, Cass, since we really don't know for sure how all the roles are going to be handled. And there's so much young pitching talent that we haven't seen out there when they've been on the hot seat. But I think I'm going to choose between the two guys who I assume will be the starters on Friday and Saturday night. One would be Gabe Bierman, who was the young gun last season, really came in strong late and proved that he had both the stuff and makeup to be a big-time pitcher for this program. The other one I'm looking at would be the crafty upperclassman lefty in Tommy Sommer. There are obviously other familiar names that will have a say in this award from week to week. Grant Sloan, Connor Maness, Kyle Kruger, you know, those are the obvious names. But I believe either Gabe or Tommy will have the most at the end of the season. So, Carl, what's your prediction for the Tony Butler Award?
Tony Butler Award. In the spirit of Tony Butler, I'm going to go with a middle infielder, and I'm going to go with the senior, Jeremy Houston. I was extremely impressed with what I saw from him defensively in the regional at Louisville, and you know I just think this is going to be his season, and we're going to see a lot of really nice plays at short this season from Jeremy Houston. Well, Josh, the Hoosiers had the entire weekend rotation drafted in 2019. How is the pitching staff shaping up for the new season?
Yeah, Carl, a lot of roles to fill. I think Cass told me last night 57% of the innings are going to have to be replaced. But there's also a lot of young talent. We got an opportunity this fall to see a lot of the arms available to the Hoosiers. You and I had a chance to sit down with associate head coach Justin Parker a couple months ago and got a little bit of insight onto how the pitching staff was developing.
If you look at the mix we have right now, and there could be some young guys emerge, we usually do see, you know, one or two guys out of the break kind of take the next step. There were certainly times in the fall where a couple guys, I'm sure you guys saw some of the outings where, you know, there's a couple guys that look like, man, this guy could be ready right now. But if you look at the mix that we're going to kind of choose from today, it's, you know, it's Gabe Bierman, it's Braden Tucker, it's Tommy Sommer, it's Alex Franklin, it's McCade Brown. We have several other interesting options that could do a little bit of both. You know, Braden Scott's been incredibly reliable, has had a great fall. And then if you look at kind of some of the back end experience we have with Grant Sloan, Connor Manis, Matt Litwicki's had a great fall, and Cal Kruger has been back and has been, you know, really, really good finishing off the fall. I may be missing a guy or two, but we feel like that group, as well as with a couple transfers, with Grant Machaki having experience, and going to do a little bit of both for us, play some infield in and be kind of probably a, you know, a late inning matchup guy or a closer type of role. We feel like we're going to be able to fill some of those innings, and then, you know, the depth pieces of some of the young guys are going to be really interesting too. We had some freshmen that really showed well at times, and just as far as consistency goes, is if they can get more consistent day in and day out, you know, there's definite roles for those type guys too.
Now, keep in mind that was from the fall, so we don't know for sure what guys made big strides in the last few months or who's had some setbacks, maybe injury-wise. But I'm going to assume that the weekend will probably be Tommy, Gabe, and Braden Tucker. Machaki and Scott will probably be put in some pressure situations, along with the guys that I named up in my NATO predictions. But it's really early. As we've seen over the years, a lot of guys get put in different spots early on, try to fill out their roles. They give them different tests, but very rarely do the roles at the end of the season, come tourney time, look like the same as they do to start the season. I do think they're pleased with the amount of talent that they have on the roster, and I think they'll be able to get it figured out. So now it's time to announce our preseason contest for this season. Chris, what do you have for us?
Thanks, Josh. Plenty of people already know about this contest. Let me tell you, we've already doubled the amount of votes from last year when we had the same type of contest. So it was the same deal. And now we've got double the votes already in. What we're doing is guess the first home run of 2020. All right. You can get your vote in through the Facebook group. You get it in through Twitter, Instagram, email, snail mail. Well, don't do snail mail anymore. We're leaving soon. I won't get it. But some other way. Send in your votes. Last year, Cole Barr, you know, he hit the first bomb, and no one picked him. So nobody won. We have some IU merch to give out. Actually, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, I had my daughter tell you a little bit about it. But we got T-shirts. We got the, you know, the Indiana with the USA hat. We got one of those if that's what you want. I think we got a Limo hat for those who remember those. Mini bats, some baseballs. You get your choice if you win. And say Cole Barr does win, because he already has like 15 votes, then we'll do a randomization, and we'll just pick one out of that. So votes are in for everybody. We got Cooper Trinkle votes. We got Brant Forth votes. Plenty of Dunhams, plenty of Barrs, your regulars, a couple for Grant Richardson, Drew Ashley. But get your votes in. And, you know, it's IU merch. It's free. But you got to win. And if you don't send it in, you can't win. So that's basically, you know, the contest, and good luck to everybody who enters.
Hey, Hoosier fans, this is the segment you've all been waiting for.
It's mailbag time.
It's mailbag time.
It's mailbag time.
It's mailbag time.
All right, looks like it's mailbag time. Our first question comes from Dale on Twitter, and Cass, you'll get this one. So what's your prediction for the starting lineup with positions for opening weekend?
Okay, well, thank you for your question, Dale. This is one I've actually kind of been conferring with the guys on, because being a couple of states over and not being there for fall ball or any of the spring media stuff, it can be kind of hard to follow along with this many new faces. But kind of the general idea for this weekend, now this is probably going to change by the time next weekend rolls around, and especially Big Ten play comes along. These lineups tend to be pretty fluid. But for this weekend, I'm thinking that catching is going to be Hopkins, first base Fusey, second base Machaki, third base Barr, shortstop Houston, left field Dunham, center field Richardson, right field Vikramba, and DH for the maybe all of the weekend or part of the weekend, Mr. Utility Drew Ashley, who will probably be filling in around the field, pretty much anywhere but pitcher. I'm not seeing him pitching too much this year. I think Drew's going to go wherever he's needed at any given time in any given game. So that's where I'm thinking people are going to start. I'm not even going to try to do the batting order. That would be a bad idea. So that's the answer to starting lineup with positions. Our next question comes via email from Dave for Carl. Why does the roster come out so late compared to other teams?
Well, thank you for the question, Dave. I don't actually know, but I can make a pretty good guess. This is a team that takes information, a coaching staff that takes information very seriously. You also take a look at the fact that this particular freshman class is extremely pitching heavy. And this is a point that Coach Parker made when we talked to him, you know, when it comes to pitching, it's not like you can just go into the batting cage and swing away for hours. Pitching's got to be done in the pitching practices have got to be done in very specific stints. So you don't get a ton of opportunity to look at these guys. And I think they're taking every opportunity they can before they make those final key decisions as to who gets put onto the roster. The final question is from Jeff B. on Twitter, and this will go to Chris. Who is the Hoosiers' career leader in hits, and is there a way to find out more about records and history?
All right. Thanks, Jeff, for the question. That's actually Jeff from the IU student section. We know Jeff. He helps gather up the home games, gets all the kids out there sitting behind that road dugout. So thanks for everything, Jeff. And I actually answered this question personally because I want him to be able to see this, but I want to explain it because if he's asking, I think a lot of people don't know about this. First of all, for the answer, it's Jared Ciborin, 332 hits. He played from 2008 to 2011, so those four seasons, 8, 9, 10, 11. Second place all time is Dustin Demuth with 316 hits. He played from 11 to 14, so 11, 12, 13, 14. But I also explained to Jeff that the record books are a little skewed or a little graded on a curve because the best players, right, they'll leave after 3 years. So you're not going to accumulate, maybe the career stats that someone else will. If you do look at the hits leaders, the leader for three seasons is Alex Dickerson, 266 hits. Second place for three seasons, Kyle Schwarber. See these names? You know these names, 238. Third place for three seasons, Sam Travis, 236. Obviously, Kyle and Sam played a lot more games in one particular season than maybe others did. But, it gets skewed a little bit. Now, as far as the record books, I remember Josh actually explaining this to me years ago. What you have to do is you go to the media guide. And where do you get the media guide? Wow, you have to do a lot. Now, go to iuhoosiers.com, go to the baseball page, go to additional links, and then like five other things come up. It's like Hoosiers in the Pros, old summer ball stuff, but one of them is the media guide. And in the media guide, you scroll past all the player stuff, comes the history. They talk a little bit about, who's made the pros, who got drafted, and then there's Big Ten records, there's career records, most steals. It comes in handy if you're doing a countdown on Twitter, and you need facts. So I've used it a lot the past how many days? What are we? It's 4 days left, so we'll probably be doing this like 50 days or something. If I saw something cool, I would use it from the media guide. I would think that the new staff will update it. We'll have a, 2020. There's some additions. Andrew Southfrank would have to update, Big Ten Pitchers of the Year. We got to update winning Big Coach of the Year. So that's a good thing. So thanks, Jeff. That's the answer and how you can find it out if you're interested. And it's always cool. Baseball is a numbers game, man. I know I like looking at the stats. The next thing we're going to do, last week we got to open up talking to Matt Gorski. Oh, it was a great time talking with him. And he was a real good sport. It wasn't the most serious interview in the world, but that's us. And I think that's more comfortable anyway. I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. We had some good times with him. What Josh is going to do is he's going to give us an update on some alumni info that you might have missed, like maybe since we last spoke, maybe through the summer and the fall.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Chris. The Hoosier pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting to spring training in Florida or Arizona real soon. But once everybody gets there, we'll have 23 alumni that are still trying to make their way in the majors, or actually three of them are there with Alex Dickerson with the Giants, Kyle Schwarber with the Cubs. Oh, and actually, I guess Sledger's is going to be fighting for a spot with the Rays. But those three guys did re-sign with their 2019 clubs. Catcher Josh Fegley. He's going to join Schwarber with the Cubs organization. The last five seasons he played with the A's, and he's coming off his best season by far in the majors to try to make that team in Chicago. Kyle Hart was added to the Red Sox 40-man roster. John Stever is with the White Sox. He got an invite to the big league camp for spring training. And Sam Travis got a break, in all of our opinions, when he was traded away from the Red Sox to the Rangers. He's not on the Rangers 40-man roster right now, but Boston was so stacked at first base, it was going to be he even tried to convert to the outfield to get some playing time. So he's probably in a better place, being down in Texas. Scott Efros is a sidearmer now, I guess. He pitched 10 innings over 8 games in the Arizona Fall League. And then other guys, Caleb Barger is with the Giants organization. Cam Beecham is with the Phillies. Scotty Bradley, Blue Jays. Cade Bunnell, Braves. Craig Dedalo, White Sox. Ryan Feinman, Rays. Tanner Gordon, Braves. Matt Gorski, Pirates. Ryan Halstead, Giants. Tim Herron, Indians. Matt Lloyd, Reds. Luke Miller, Phillies. Paulie Milto, White Sox. Andrew Salfrank, Diamondbacks. BJ Sable is in the Independent League. It's a good time to be a Hoosier fan with all these guys that we've watched in the last few years, trying to make their way up. So it's very exciting to see this many names to follow. And on a side note, on January 13th, Christian Morris announced his retirement from professional baseball. He was drafted by the Yankees in 2015. His best pro season was 2017 when he had a 2.24 ERA. And he played with 3 different Yankee affiliates that season, so he was working his way up. But recent shoulder issues led to Morris retiring, so we wish him the best of luck. And as always, we want to thank Pro Ball Hoosiers for his work in getting a lot of this info to us. I'd also like to remind everyone that they can find all our alumni interviews on our YouTube page. We've had the privilege of interviewing the guy that the field is named after, Mr. Bart Kauffman, as well as so many of our favorite players, Ryan Halstead, Kyle Hart, Austin Cangelosi, Joey Donato, and like Chris was talking about this last week, we got to talk to the Pirates' second-round pick last season, Matt Gorski. So if you missed any of those, be sure to check them out on our YouTube channel. So now let's go around the panel with a brief discussion about what we each expect this season. Cass, you're going to lead off this segment.
Well, thanks, Josh. For me, I'm going to say that I do kind of expect some legitimate growing pains to start the season. I ran numbers last year that show how vastly different the stats are the first 2-3 weeks of the season compared to the remainder of the season. And it seems to hold true year in, year out. The Hoosiers and most of Northern baseball starts off pretty rough. They're up against the wall a little bit, constantly traveling. Add to that the fact that there are some fairly young and new guys being thrown into the mix. And this early season schedule isn't particularly filled with cupcakes. In fact, 6 of those games in the first 3 weekends are against currently ranked opponents. Like this is a pretty tough first few weeks. But what I also expect is that these growing pains are going to result in a stronger team going into Big Ten play and into the postseason. This team's going to be plenty tested by that point. And with so many new guys, that's a good thing. And finally, I'm expecting an exciting weekend down in Baton Rouge this weekend. I think it'll be a good time, and I think the Hoosiers could do pretty well.
It's going to be crowded, I heard.
Yes, I'm betting crowded. I looked at LSU's media guide, and they're national leaders in attendance something like the last decade and a half. So there's going to be a lot of eyes on the Hoosiers this weekend. So Carl, what are your expectations this year?
Well, I'm going to kind of focus mine on the entirety of the Big Ten. The media outlets up until today, I wrote this yesterday, and then this morning I listened to the 11.7 podcast, and they're like, Minnesota's going to win the Big Ten. I'm like, Someone finally said it? Okay. But most of the media outlets are saying Michigan's going to win the Big Ten. They're the obvious favorites without really any big reason why. They are a talented ball club. There's no question. But I don't really think they're dominant. You look at Minnesota. I just remember that series when they were at the BART this week, this past year. And although Indiana managed to pull it out and win that series, those first two games were rough. They trotted out one guy after another who were capable of throwing and controlling breaking balls left and right, and then suddenly lighting up at 94. A lot of talent on that team. Max Meyer pitched 125 or so pitches in the game he threw against the Hoosiers. Patrick Fredrickson did not have a great year last year, but he was the Big Ten freshman and pitcher of the year his freshman year. I got to think he's going to end up somewhere between the 2 years. So they've got – Minnesota's got a – has got a really solid pitching staff. I would think they are slightly the favorites in my eyes to win the league. But overall, the Big Ten's wide open. Ohio State has a ton of talent. They won the Big Ten tournament last year. Most of that talent is still there. You've got teams like Illinois with plenty of talent. Iowa always seems to find a way to make something happen. So a lot of good teams in this league. I'm going to say it. I think it's a five-bid league. I think five teams are going to find a way into a regional this year. And the best thing going for the Hoosiers, in addition to, you know, a lot of talent that's young, and the fact that the Big Ten season is in the second half, is, as I said earlier, it's a weaker Big Ten schedule. So there may be a big opportunity to compete for one of the better seeds in the Big Ten tournament, possibly even a regular season title.
I agree with what you're saying, definitely about the Big Ten schedule. I think I feel like we have a better schedule. I feel like every year I'm sitting there talking, you're like, wait a second, we're not playing them. But this year we are playing some of these, teams that aren't expected to be great. It doesn't mean they won't be good, but at least on paper, at least we have something that looks a little different than we're playing the top five and we're playing only one of the bottom five. I'm not going to feel bad about it. Past few years, it's always been the other way. So the worm turned a little bit this year if the expectations go the way they're supposed to as far as the Big Ten teams. Minnesota, absolutely the pitching. They could host. And I was listening to 11.7 also. I didn't have to listen to them to know they could host. I mean, you know, they recently hosted when they had both of those arms. Again, it's hard to see what we're going to be. I remember when the rankings all came out and I told people, like, no, we're not going to be ranked. You can't rank something you don't know. You can't rank pitching staffs you don't know. You can't rank a team that lost so many players. I mean, I guess you could, but you're not gonna. I don't think that, you know, the ceiling is as high maybe as last year, but, you know, it could still happen. I honestly didn't think we were coming back to win the Big Ten last year, and we did it. But then on the other side, I thought we were going to do better in the postseason than we did, and we didn't. So maybe this is all just going to build up to a better postseason run. I'll take that. We're definitely going to be battle-tested, like Cass said. This schedule is rough. East Carolina in their home park is not going to be easy. Ole Miss. You know, these are teams that go to regionals, that go to super regionals. And obviously, this LSU environment could be pretty rough. And they're a great team. They're ranked 11th, and they lost a ton of talent. And because they're just LSU. They're just going to cycle through and be good again. I'm really excited, though, especially the young arms. You know, we've heard a lot of good things through the fall, a lot of velocity, a lot of things we saw throughout the fall. They were throwing strikes. And if the on-base percentage goes up, Cass mentioned it only went up 1% as far as walks. I bet you the staff with all the computers and all the Denton Sagerman stuff, I bet 1% is important. And I bet they'll be happy as that on-base percentage goes higher and higher, even if we drop down on some of those homers. I'll take fourth in the country this year. Let's go fourth in the country for home runs. Instead of second, we'll drop down a little bit. Obviously excited to get the season started. I don't know how excited I'll feel 9 hours in the van ride. You know, it's still about five to go, but we'll get through that, and it's so worth it. And in the environment, I know if a lot of people are going, it's going to be good to see a lot of Hoosier fans there. we'll be outnumbered, don't get me wrong, but there's going to be some red and white in there, trust me. I've heard from enough people that are definitely going. So, I mean, if I have to label expectations, you know, in it for a regional, not host, in it to make a regional and come down the end of the season having a shot to make a run to take the repeat, the big repeat. So, you know, either way, you know, we don't know who's going to be right, who's going to be wrong. But that's what I'm going to go with. And, Josh, what about you?
Yeah, Chris, I'm looking forward to seeing how much progress the staff and players have made on some of the things they struggled with a little bit last season. Mainly two things, better, more aggressive base running and cutting down on the strikeouts while continuing to do damage to the big part of the field. I know those were two things that Coach mentioned many times last season, and now they've had a full year to implement the plan. Now, I'm not expecting for it all to be fixed from day one, of course. But those are two things I'll be focusing on and paying attention to, at least to start the season. Expectation-wise, hey, at this point, I'm used to making the tournament. I expect to make the tournament. I think they've got the pieces to do that. And Carl laid out the schedule there. I know we don't want to talk about that too much because, you know, you don't want to overlook teams just because they're not projected to do well. I mean, many times we see teams come in that are good that aren't supposed to be and vice versa. So it's hard to judge that stuff. But I'm going to expect to be in the tournament. I want to feel that entitlement on the baseball side. I think the program's earned it at this point. So we've mentioned the opening series multiple times today. Chris, can you tell us about this weekend's opponent, the LSU Tigers?
You got it, Josh. The first series preview of the season, LSU Tigers. Obviously, it's Alec Box Stadium, holds 10,000 people. Expected to be as crowded for each game as the next. They're all sold out. It's SRO for the whole weekend. The times are Eastern Standard. We're looking at Friday at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 4 o'clock, and Sunday at 1. Obviously, if you're at the games, we're on a different time zone, but that will be here in Indiana. Now, LSU was 40-26 last year. They finished with an RPI of 16. They've made 8 regionals in a row, 32 altogether, 32 regionals, and they've won 6 titles, the last one in 2009. They've had a huge turnover for their offense from what I was reading. You know, looked up some stuff between V1 and Baseball America and stuff. This team is going to be known for its pitching. That's what's getting them ranked 11th. A lot of bats that are going to be coming up will be sophomores that maybe didn't get as much time last year but have potential, and we'll talk about some of those big bats in a minute. But pitching is going to be the way they're going to earn it. That's what it sounds like. Friday night, we're going to get Cole Henry. He's a sophomore right-hander. He went 4-2 last year with a 3.39 ERA. And now he made the third team All-Americans from D1. He had 72 strikeouts in 58 innings. The guy sits 91, 94, but he throws 96, and he does it often. Curves about 74, and he's apparently put in a new sink and changeup that's good against righties and lefties. So this guy's a stud. Because of his age, he can get drafted this year, and people are thinking, you know, late first, early second at the worst. So, I mean, whoever comes out on the mound from this team, whether it's the bullpen, the middle relief, the closers, they're all going to be good. Saturday, Coach Manera has went with Landon Marceau. I'm going to go with that's how you pronounce that. Another sophomore righty. Last year, it looks like he started off kind of rough, but really finished strong. He ended up with a 5-2 record, a 4.66 ERA. Not a big strikeout guy, but he gets outs. Apparently, you know, he's not going to blow you away. He's 89-92, which was actually pretty low for miles an hour when you look at the pitchers on this staff. But he'll be Saturday. And then Sunday, we have A.J. Labis. He's a redshirt sophomore because of an injury sophomore year. So he's coming back after missing a whole season, shoulder surgery. He's 90-93, real deceptive, hard to pick up what he's throwing, whether it's the heater or the breaker. You know, apparently it looks exactly the same. It's going to be real difficult to pick that up. And that's a day game, so maybe, you know, it's harder to pick up the ball. You're not going to be under the lights. And let's see, what else we got for him? 6-2 and a 3.48 ERA his freshman year. Great control guy. And obviously his deception is going to help that. He's going to be sinking and curving, and they're all going to be strikes. We got to figure out what he's throwing. Their closer is Devin Fontenot Jr. Fontenot sounds right from the way it looks. He's homered in there 94 consistently. 28 appearances last year. He had 5 wins and 7 saves. 51 innings. The opponents hit .180. And obviously that's through their non-con and all those SEC bats. So my plan, as always, let's not face their closer. And, we'll be all right. Now, as far as their big bats, I picked 3 out. There's one dominant one. And then as far as the rest, I could have probably picked 2 out of the next 5 as far as who to look at. But their main guy, number 8, Daniel Cabrera, left-handed bat. He's a junior outfielder. He's a day one draft guy, MLB. He's a preseason All-American. Really coming up high on draft boards. In his 2 seasons so far, he's got 20 bombs and 100 RBIs. He was all SEC last. He's all SEC preseason this year and preseason All-American from D1. As a freshman, he did win an All-American. Doesn't look like he played as much as a sophomore for whatever reason. He was already drafted by the Padres in the 26th round. I would think that's because they thought he was, coming to LSU and he was really going to play college ball. Great outfielder. From what it looks like, he's really a running game changer. So he's, doesn't look like we're going to be flying if the ball's hit to right field this year. He played left the last 2 years, but he's going to be playing right this season. Now, as far as the other 2 bats, I got Saul Garza. He's that junior catcher, 6'3", 225. He's a thumper. He hit 303 last year, doubles, 10 doubles, 15 home runs. He was drafted by the Cardinals before. It seems like all these guys get drafted so late because you commit to LSU, you plan to go there. But he's projected, again, double digits home runs this year. He's got big opposite field power, gap to gap, the whole thing. So that's number 13, Saul Garza. And for a 3rd bat, I went with number 24, Cade Bellesso. First baseman, big left-handed bat. He's 6'2", 235. He had 10 home runs and 50 RBIs last year. He's predicted to hit 20 to 25 home runs this year because he's going to get a lot more playing time. So they have a lot of left-handed power on this team. The pitching, stud pitching. This is something that is going to be a challenge as far as getting out of there to win this series. Obviously, that's what we want. We, come out of there, win the series, right? That's the goal. Win a game if need be. So we'll see what happens. Now, it's a good thing we can announce, like we said, the times were 8 o'clock Friday night, 4 o'clock Saturday, and 1 o'clock Sunday, and there will be a radio call provided by Indiana University, which is great to hear. I know we pointed it out a few times when there wasn't, so I really want to give credit now that there is. And we have a really good guy to call these games, Austin Render. He's from the IU Media School. This guy is the Drew Ashley of play-by-play guys. Let me tell you, he does it all. He's done field hockey, football for WIUX. I listened to a couple of his calls. They were real good. He's done IU basketball. He's done women's basketball play-by-play. There's not much. He does a pregame show for the basketball game right now. He spent his summer in Brewster calling the Whitecaps games for the Cape Cod League. So I don't know if Greg Murray had something to do with the choice. I don't know who chose him. But it really looks like we have a good guy to call these games. I double-checked with Greg before the pod. I wanted to be sure. He's going to be doing all the road games and most of the early home games when Greg's unavailable. And they're not going to be on that Hoosier Country stream, but it will be on the iuhoosiers.com stream. Obviously, we'll provide all those links. But you just go through the website, and they're there. So really a shout out to the university for making this choice. Might not seem like a big deal to some, but to me, it's a commitment to the program, and it doesn't leave people in the dark for the first 3 weeks when some of these games are so important. Not everybody can go to a road game. Not everybody likes staring at, the stats and just, getting updates that way. Now we have a play-by-play guy. I think it's a great thing. So if you're going out there, we are going to have a couple of get-togethers, and we'll get that information out. And, make some noise in there. We're going to be outnumbered, but make some noise, Don't talk for the next couple of days. Save your voice for the weekend. All right. Go Hoosiers. Oh, I'm pumped up. Josh, what do you got?
Hey, brother. I'm just ready to get this thing started, man. Yep. And I'm really looking forward to spending a week with all of you guys. Nancy's been packed for 2 weeks. And the boys have been counting how many sleeps. For those that have been around kids, they know what that means. For just about that long. But again, well said with the appreciation for the radio feed. We've squeaked about that for a long time. Not saying that's why it got done, but there are a lot of people that appreciate it, not just us. It always seems like such a gap between fall ball and the spring. I say spring, it's barely the middle of February. But this team's going to face a very good opponent in a crazy environment on their home turf. Like Cass was alluding to earlier, it's going to be a great experience for the guys. It could really be something that can prepare a player for a big moment later, if not this season, just sometime down the road in their career. I absolutely love it. They're going to be battle tested, and it's a great way to kick off the season. Couldn't be more excited. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Read up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUAtTheBark and at iubase17. Please leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. For Carl James, Chris Feeney, and Cassidy Palmer, I'm Josh Bennett. If we don't see you at the box this weekend, we'll definitely see you soon at the bar. Yeah.